May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Those of us who remember the late 1980s will recognize the meme, greed is good. It's an attitude that still afflicts us today. In today's gospel reading, though, Jesus is here to tell us, not so much. The episode starts out with someone in the crowd calling on Jesus to order his brother to share a family inheritance fairly. Jesus tells him, that's not my job, and instead takes the opportunity to deliver a parable on the subject of greed and self-centeredness. He starts with describing a rich man. That should set off some flashing lights, because the rich don't usually fare particularly well in stories from the Gospels, and this one is no exception. He starts out well enough. The man is obviously a hard worker and a good farmer. He has motivated his servants to do the heavy lifting, and they've just brought in a bumper crop of a lifetime. In fact, he doesn't have room to store all of the harvest. He's got it made, or so he thinks. Then, in one of the densest collections of first-person pronouns to be found in the entire New Testament, the rich man comes up with a plan. I will pull down my barns and I will build larger ones to hold all my crops and all my stuff. I'm set for life. I'm going to relax, eat, drink, and be merry. Let the good times roll. And as it happens, he is set for life. But that life will be over in just a few hours. Someone else will reap the benefits of his work and his wealth. Someone else will enjoy the relaxation and the feasting that he had anticipated for himself. So it is, says Jesus, with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. The key here, it seems to me, is not that it's a bad thing to work hard and provide for yourself and your family. In an uncertain world, that's just common sense. It's not a bad thing to feast and relax. Jesus and his disciples are always taking flak from establishment times for doing just that. The problem is the rich man's selfishness. What should he have done differently? Think back on that string of I, me, I. He has given no thought to others, and there are plenty of people out there in serious need. First century Palestine had no shortage of the poor, the starving, the ill, the abused, the afflicted. We see that in virtually every chapter of the Gospels. There is no suggestion that the rich man gave any consideration to sharing a portion of his newfound wealth with even his own workers, whose labor helped to create it. He hasn't dispensed alms or any of the excess grain to anyone. Had he demonstrated even a modicum of concern for others, had he given charity to those around him, he wouldn't have had to worry about new barns. The other lesson we get here is on the danger of overplanning, of making assumptions about the future, of imagining that our paths through life will be smooth and foreseeable, guided by some kind of supernatural GPS, with signposts along the way to let us know when we arrive. That's never been a sensible attitude. Life has never been that predictable. Whether it's a drought that ruins a crop yield, or an unexpected job loss, a crisis for one's child, one's spouse, one's parent, a market-wrecking recession, or a medical test and results that upends one world, we do not control our own fates. We can protect ourselves to some extent. We must have faith. But life being what it is, we can be fairly certain that Jesus have us do? It seems to me that we should plan for the future, but not make it our obsession. We should save and invest, and, metaphorically speaking, build a new barn every day, every now and then. But we should not forget to enjoy ourselves in the moment in our determination to meet some future goal. Most of all, we should never forget the needy while we're making plans for ourselves. We should not neglect those who helped us achieve our ambitions. We need to remember the laborer is worthy of his hire, and reimburse others fairly. As in Jesus' time, we're increasingly finding ourselves in a society in which a few acquire enormous wealth and power, while others work for years without managing to achieve any kind of financial security. More and more people find themselves laboring in the gig economy with no benefits and no guarantees. Many people will find it impossible to retire when the time comes, not because they didn't try to save, but because the rules have changed. So we should be generous. We should help those in need as we are able. We give through St. Peter's, and St. Peter's does a great deal for the community here and elsewhere. We can also help as individuals and families with monetary gifts, with gifts in kind, and with gifts of service. A few verses along in this chapter from Luke, Jesus says, "From those to whom much has been given, much is expected." Much was thus expected from the rich man, but, as Jesus notes, he was not rich toward God. We can do better, and we must do better. Only when we gladly share our own bounty do we truly, fully live our faith.